All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Sit and Kick podcast. I'm your host, David Ribich, and today we're sitting and kicking it again, once again, with Eric Sawinski.
Talking some tracks.
I know. Yeah, track is definitely one of those things that it's fun to talk about. It's more fun to be participating in, but if you're not participating in it, it's really, really fun to talk about. And just if you guys listened to that last preview that we did there in Boston, I think we did pretty good on the predictions. I think we did pretty good on kind of who the front runners were, but this weekend is, ironically, the Super Bowl of indoor track and field on the day of the Super Bowl. And we got Eric here in a Chiefs jersey. I just figured out sports betting this year, so that's been my fun experience of athletics beyond track and field. So we don't need a deep dive the Super Bowl, but I want to deep dive the Super Bowl of track and field. Eric, do you want to just kind of, you're, like I posted, a many-time participant in Millrose, even a multiple-time winner and record holder and setter there. So do you want to just kind of give like a quick synopsis of kind of what Millrose is?
Yeah, I think probably the most premier indoor race in the States for sure during the year. Just like the history of Millrose. I mean, in college, I ran at Millrose when it was still at Madison Square Garden when they had the 160-meter track. Yeah, my freshman year, we ran a 4x8. It didn't go well, but my coach ran the 600 there a couple times as a pro in Madison Square Garden. And just a long history, awesome event. At the Armory now, too, I feel like just such a unique place where you have like fans not only around you, but like above you, which just makes it a really unique environment. So also kind of the place that really like kickstarted my professional track and field career, like kind of breaking that American record out of nowhere. Like it just like everything took off with me from there. So definitely holds a special place in my heart in the track and field world for sure.
You broke that 600 meter, was it right? 600 meter American record?
Yeah.
You broke that in college?
No, my first year as a pro. So it's 2013.
Holy cow.
Kind of a funny story. So out of college, I mean, I had no agent, no shoe deal, obviously. I'd emailed every agent on USA Track and Field's list and nobody responded. So I've kind of just like worked with my agent off of good faith since my coach knew him. So I'd like done a really hard workout on a Wednesday, finished up at like 4 p.m. and had a voicemail from Murray Flynn saying that someone dropped out of the 600 and asked if I wanted to race on Saturday. So got there the night before the race, and the rest is history. So it's a special place for me for sure.
That's super cool. Yeah. And if you guys know Ray Flynn's very involved with track and field. So is he a sub 350 miler for Ireland? I should know that off the top of my head. I know he has the 4x mile world record for outdoor. He was part of that relay team. He's an agent now with track and field, Flynn Sports. He has a really great team, but he also is the host and the, I guess, meet director of Millrose. And he takes a lot of pride in these races coming and going throughout the years and still being one of the most, honestly, spectacle events, especially there being in New York City. Wish I could have gone there to see it in Madison Square Garden. I bet that was an absolute trip. I know if you guys ever wanted to watch old Millrose and then watch and run in the miles, you can just hear the boards like clapping against the ground there on YouTube. But you guys really got to check out the old Millrose games. But today we are talking about the Millrose games, 116th anniversary one that's going on this weekend on Sunday. The pro races start pretty early on Sunday. It's a 10:03 a.m. Eastern time. So if you guys are kind of figuring that out, that's going to be the women's 60-meter hurdles to start out the day. And then the program's just going to go through really quick. I mean, it's going to be done, I think, there in about 90 minutes, 2 hours. I know the last events are always the Wanamaker Mile for the men and women. So just make sure you watch that whole program, because there's going to be world record attempts. There's probably going to be a world record, if not two. So it's going to be exciting. For this event, you guys, if you listened to Boston's preview, then you heard Eric and I kind of mosey through the fields with no real direction. And what I learned from that is, I think competition and a little bit of banter goes a long way. So for this go around, you guys, if you're listening to this preview, we're going to be drafting teams back and forth to try to bring a little more emphasis into these athletes, talk a little bit more about who they are. And you know, if we only have three slots on our team, it's going to be three people for mine, three people for his, and we're going to score it like a cross-country race. If we leave a name off the list, that's not necessarily a diss to them. It's not the fact that we don't believe in them. Chances are, because we're only selecting three each, we're probably going to be wrong about a handful of things. That's okay. We're going to still try to highlight as many athletes as we can in this experience, but we want to at least banter about the big names that are going to be in these races, and hopefully David comes out on top at the end of the day. We're going to have no real order on I guess we are actually going to have a full order. I literally have everything scripted. I don't know. I went off script for the first time so far. We're going to flip a coin, a digital coin. It's going to on one side sit, on one side kick. And just because it's Super Bowl Sunday, you have the chance, Eric, to defer, or you have the chance to take the first pick. In a draft, I feel like it's probably safer to take the first pick, but I'll shut up and I'll flip the coin. What do you want, sit or kick?
Kick.
All right, and the flip is sit. Right. Swear it's not rigged. I'm going to defer. I want to see who you'd pick first. We're going to talk about the men's, or sorry, we're going to talk about the women's 60 meters.
Women's 60 meters. So am I picking right away? Are we going to discuss this first? How are we?
We can kind of discuss openly if you'd like to, or yeah. You can just dive right in. It's up to you.
I'm going to take Julian Alfred.
Okay.
With my first pick. I think she's running well. A couple good results up there at altitude in Albuquerque. Three wins, three races. I think that she's kind of shown that she's in form. I think there's another one that I would have looked at with my first overall pick, but New Balance scared me a little bit. So,
yeah, absolutely. And in that, you know, I'll take one of her competitors, Shashalee Forbes of Jamaica. She's ranked 19th right now in the world with 100 meters and including her 60 meter, 55 meter marks. She's the fifth Jamaican out of the top 20, which is crazy. However, she's already had five indoor 60-meter races. She's ran 7:14, 7:03, 7:19, 7:11, 7:13 as her most recent. That 7:03 is a tenth faster than what Julian Alfred ran. So I'm going to try to take a little bit of that that magic and see if that she can kind of go through and get the win there. So my pick would be Shashalee Forbes.
Are we going where you get two in a row, or are we going snake draft? Or
I was thinking we can just go back and forth, you know, because in the process of a snake draft, if we're only picking three, then that's just going to be a little bit of a rougher go. So I would just say back and forth is fine with me.
Yep. All right. Sounds good. I'm going to go with Destiny Smith Barnett.
All right.
With my second pick. I run 7:15 this year. Obviously, you know, 7:15 in late January, early February is pretty quick. So that's my number two.
I'm going to go with, for my number two pick, we're going to go with Brianna Williams. She's from Jamaica. That's probably who your potential number one pick was going to be. She ran 7:11 already this year for the 60-meter dash. But then there at New Balance, she ran 9:09. I didn't see anything go, like, from a mechanical perspective. Didn't see anything go muscularly or anything like that when I watched the races. So I'm hoping that was just a bit of a fluke run. And as long as she's on that start line, that'll be I think that'll be a good battle because – again, you chose Destiny as your second pick. I would be really surprised if the U.S. put one person in the top three, genuinely. Because you have these women. You have Shannon Ray. She's ran five races already, but an average of 7.4. You have Tamara Clark, who is definitely a fan favorite, but she's ran nothing under 7.2. In a perfect world, Julian Alfred, Brianna Williams, and Shashalee Forbes could probably sweep this. So that's where I'm just going to probably go with Brianna Williams on that second pick.
Yeah. My third, I'm going to go with Tamara Clark.
Yep. And then I'll round it out with English Gardner as my third pick. Just a great U.S. lock. Always a big fan of hers too. So
shout out English. Her and her dad are awesome. I've spent a lot of time with them on the circuit. Yep. It's awesome to see her, especially with those knee injuries she's had, still grinding and still putting herself in some big races. Yep. So.
She's a legit person too. I know, it's like when you talk about like sprinters and people and their energy that they bring, I feel like she does bring a lot of positive energy to the meets that she competes in. So it's always a fun person to watch. So if you're looking for a fan favorite to look through, English Gardner, she represents Nike, definitely going to be a good pick.
100%.
You guys are thinking we're ripping through this. We're already 10 minutes into this bad boy and we got a lot more events to go. So I'm going to go ahead and flip. I'll choose, sit for this flip for the men's 60 meters. All right, it's me. I'm going to pick first. I'm just going to go out of the gates here as quick as I can and pick Christian Coleman. You know, he's the world record holder in the event. He's also ranked number two in the world this year behind Noah Lyles. Fun fact is that America actually has three of the top six right now, with Curly rounding out in sixth place for the world rankings. And I'm going for Coleman. I mean, like, I was in Albuquerque when he won the 60 meters there at Albuquerque. He's the world record holder in the event. He's a 2019 world champion there in Doha. I mean, like, this guy's a gamer. I like rooting for him, especially in that 60. He's one of the most explosive starters, I think, in the sport. So, yeah, Coleman's just a quick lock for me.
I mean, he's won Milrose the last 2 years, obviously runs yep. well at the Armory, so I don't think you can argue that one. I mean, I'm going to go with Keen Blake then, I think, obviously. I mean, right behind Noah Lyles last weekend. Yeah. I mean, running 6:45. I think that those two, I feel like, currently are heads above the rest of the field. So that's where I'm going to. I think if there's someone that could beat Christian Coleman, it's mm-hmm. going to be him, right? I think that yep. that's pretty clear. So.
Yep. And, man, see, like, after those two guys, it's going to be a fight to the line for sure. The nice guy in me wants to choose Andre Degrassi, you know, like, just because I like him. He's a world champion, Diamond League winner, two-time Olympic silver medalist, and Olympic champ. But I don't think he's a favorite, so I'm going to defer that guy. And I think I'm going to go with JT Smith. He's a 2023 U.S. champ, over 60 meters. He's ran 6:72, which is the fastest time that he's ran this winter. But when he won in Albuquerque, he ran 6:53. That's obviously a little bit slower by a tenth or so from what Akeem Blake ran last weekend. But I'm still optimistic that JT Smith is going to be able to put it together when the pressure's on. Because if he's able to do that in Albuquerque, I'm pretty confident that he could do that in Milrose. So I'm going to put him in for my number two pick, JT Smith.
I'm going to go with another guy that I've spent a lot of time with on the circuit, Demek Kim.
Okay.
He ran 6:55 in Astana, Kazakhstan, that first world indoor tour meet of the year. And I know that that is a real difficult place to get to. And a lot of people went over there just for a single race. So if a guy can make 20, 24 hours of travel and run 6:55, I think that probably shows that you're in pretty good stead. So Demek Kemp is my pick. We played a lot of Madden in some hotel rooms together too. So.
I like it. Oh, man. And then for the third pick, I'm going to go with Shakur Williams. He's from Albany, collegiate boy in the mix. I just like rooting. Milrose always has about one or two collegians in most of the fields. So, yeah, going to go with him.
I'm going to go with DeGrasse. I think that
okay.
having a world champion hanging out there with the final pick, I think that, yeah, I mean, he's run, what, 6:6 a couple times this year. And
yeah.
I think we see him probably dip into those 6.5s and good fight for that third place spot, I think, for sure.
Yeah, and we're also only covering these running events. You guys, there's going to be a ton of great field events there, too, with loaded fields.
Oh, I yeah. mean,
all the time that you're going to have, you've had Mondo Duplantis there, you've had Ryan Krauser there, you've had Joe Kovacs there, you've had Sandy and Katie Moon. It's like there's tons and tons of events to cover for these Melrose games. This isn't, in fact, a running podcast for now. It could graduate into being a track and field especially podcast when it comes to it, but for now, guys, we're just going to be covering the running events. That is no shame to the incredible sportsmanship and entertainment value that those field events have. We're just going to stay within our lanes here, because if I had to pick my field events, I would choose Ryan Krauser, Joe Kovacs, Tara Davis every moment of the day. Those guys always put on shows. I mean, again, with Moon and Katie Moon and Sandy Morris, Sam Kendricks, all of them, like they. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the field events, but we're just going to keep it within the lanes, and we're just going to bump on up now to the women's 800. You want to go ahead and choose sit or kick?
I'm going to stick with my kick.
Sit with your kick, and I'll show you if you lose this. Okay, it's kick, so you get to pick all first right. or defer, which I don't know why you would defer. We could just ignore that.
Yeah, because... well, okay. I'm going to pick first.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Natoya Gould.
Okay.
I mean, first race of the year, but I think someone that you always see run well indoors, run well at the Armory.
Yep.
I mean, ranked number three in the world. I think that since she's running indoors this year, probably shows she's shooting to run at World Indoor Champs.
Yep.
I think that, like, she didn't run indoors last year, so focused on the outdoors. So I think she's probably got to be in pretty good shape and likes to run from the front, which indoors can definitely be a blessing. So I'm
going with Natoya. Absolutely. Gould. And something that we should have probably done on the 60s, and we'll do it for the distance events. I'm just going to, and then we can alternate back and forth. I'll just go through this list and just say all the entries in the field.
Yeah.
Just cool. So you guys can hear the names. We got Natoya Gould of Jamaica, Kayla Edwards of the U.S., Olivia Baker of the U.S., Emily Richard, U.S., Lorena Martina of Spain, Raven Rogers, Gabriela Galvedite of Oklahoma State, and then Allie Wilson of the U.S. And, Yeah, I mean, just right off the rip for my first pick, I'm gonna have to stay within the torch bearing UAC, and I'm gonna pick Raven Rodgers. I mean, I see her practice. I see her almost every day, depending on what time she shows up. But she's an absolute gamer, and like, she's made every single U.S. team that she's contested for. And when she gets on the line for these 800s, I mean, she's a fighter, and she's very, very good. I mean, I honestly watch a lot of her 800 meter races, and she might not have like that winning way of like Centro, but she's an incredible tactician. She always has herself in a good lane position. She always has her ability to maneuver and kick late. I mean, if you look back at her Olympic bronze medal, she kicked down with 150 to go. She was in no position to medal. I think she was in 6 or 7. She kicked down to bronze. You watch Raven Rodgers' last race in New Balance. She stepped down to the 400, ran 53.00. She was fighting and clawing with those speed girls, and like, she outkicked him at the end. And she went, and she was in the inside lane on an indoor 400. I think she was on lane 2 or 3. You don't put anyone on lane 2 or 3 in the 400 indoors. So she was in a bad lane, in last at the bell, and got second, 53.00. I think that if Raven has a little bit more, I guess, like, luck with the positioning on these indoor races, and she's sitting off the front, sitting off a striking distance, I think she could be a real threat. So, yeah, going to go with Raven Rodgers.
Nice. Great pick. I am going to go with Allie Wilson. That's my second pick.
Okay.
Has run well this year. Left Atlanta Track Club, which surprised me a little bit to stay with coaches with the change over there at Atlanta. And I think that it's shown so far that that's paid off. So I think some familiarity with the coaching. She's in good shape. So we'll go with Allie Wilson.
I'm going to pick the U.S. indoor runner-up of last year, Kayla Edwards of Adidas, also representing the U.S. Kayla Edwards, I feel like, has been on the scene since I've been on the scene. I mean, like, she was an early name that I remember watching there at Oklahoma State, right?
Yep.
And she, I mean, put her nose to it right away. And she's kind of had like a little bit of an up and down go within the women's 800, because that event is just so strong in the U.S. I mean, you legitimately, I mean, given it's an American meet going on at Millrose, but there's 5 women in this race, and you're still missing 3 of the top 800 meter women for the U.S. right now. So I like the pick of Kayla Edwards. I think that she's been showing a lot of confidence in her racing. I haven't really seen much of what she's done so far this year, but at the same time, I'm confident in her ability just because of the way that she was front running some of those 800 meter last year. Love to see Kayla Edwards up in the mix this year.
I think along the same lines of the front running, I'm going to go with Olivia Baker.
Dang. Pick. Okay. Yeah. That's what I was going to pick.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she'll be out there with Natoya Gould. I think one of those two for sure are going to take the lead. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see this go through in, you know, 57 and hold on and see what we got. So yeah, Olivia Baker, my pick.
You know, and what's crazy about it all too is, like, if I could choose 2 people to throw into this field to really spice things up, no reason to, but I would love to see Aiken and Hodgkinson. You know, Hodgkinson has never ran Millrose,
yeah.
But she set the world indoor record for 600 meters last year. Obviously, she's the closest competitor that Athingmo has right now at the world level, and I would love to see Hodgkinson come into the Millrose games and just absolutely destroy and put on a clinic. Would she with this field?
Maybe. I think the interesting thing here too is that looking at this list, I don't see anyone that I would pick out to be pacing the race. So
yeah,
I think it'll be interesting to see, like, if it still goes out hard. I think given some of the names and like how they like to tactically race these, I think it'll still get out hard. But kind of interesting that you don't see someone that I would pick out to be pacing.
And for my third pick, I'm going to pick the collegiate of Oklahoma State, Galvadite. I'm looking at her tiefers real quick. She's ran 2 flat .47. She ran 202.82 there at the Razorback Invitational 2 weeks ago, and for 600 she ran 128. So I'm thinking she's in pretty good form. And you know, with collegians stepping up into these pro fields, like, a lot of these like professional athletes are opening their season, where these collegians have had a few races under their belts, so they're a little bit more crisp and ready to go. So with that, I think that she might just have a little bit of an edge of being able to put her nose in it. And so yeah, gonna go with the collegiate on the third pick.
I think she ran a pretty good mile too at BU, if I'm not mistaken. I think she ran like 4:33, maybe, if I remember that race right.
4:33. Yep, 4:33.29 in her season open.
Nice. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
All right, Eric, the stat guy.
I told you I love me some track and field.
Yeah, and there were three athletes that were in the New Balance Grand Prix last weekend. Lorena Martin of Spain was one of those. Allie Wilson ran 201.84. Lorena Martin ran 202.03. Olivia Baker ran 202.71. you know the 800. It's like 201, 202, that could be two flat 201 on any given day, maybe even a 159, just depending on positioning and tactics and things like that. So the fact that those three women are doubling back from last week into Millrose is not only great for points for the world ranking, but also just the competitiveness of the event, being able to come right back into it.
Yeah, I think especially if they stayed on the East Coast too, I think you'll have some of these people coming in from the West Coast racing at 7, yep. 8 a.m. So it'll be maybe something that'll help them out a little bit. So
yeah. I think we could go ahead and assume that your coin side's going to be kick, coin side's going to be sit, so yes. I'll just flip it again.
Flip it.
For the men's 800, the first pick will go to me. Okay, it's literally 50% so far. This is not rigged. Okay, so this is where I could get in trouble, because my allegiance would be to my boy, Billy McKende, Noah Cabet. But... you know, I do see him every single day. He did run 147 in Albuquerque after a 54 opening lap and closed in 26.0. Just looked super smooth. He ran 359 in Dr. Sanders. I think he has a lot of potential to win this race. But Bryce's 216 1K last week in the race with A-Rop is scary to me. That's showing really good form for Bryce. I know Bryce has stepped up and ran a 1500 meter race. I think he ran low 340s. But him running 216, I mean, yeah, I think Noah Cabet is my favorite in the field, but for the favorite of who I think could win this race or has more, who would be the under, I'd probably assume it'd be Bryce Hopple. So I'm going to put Bryce Hopple to win this. He's ran 216 for the K. He's ranked 9th in the world right now. He is a man of consistency, of racing hard and being in good position. Last year at Millrose, he got tangled up, and I don't even know what he ran. Maybe 208 or something like that. Like, I know it was a tangly mess.
Like 154, I think, if I remember right.
154. Okay, yeah. So I think he's going to be coming hungry for this one. So I'm going to go ahead and put Hopple up front.
Yeah, I think that's where I would have gone. Also, interesting race, I think.
Do you want to go through these entrants real quick?
So Bryce Hopple, Mark English, the Irishman, Luciano Fiore, Atlanta Track Club, formerly of Empire, Luis Peralta of Central Park Track Club, Saul Ordonez, the Spaniard, Noah Cabet, we've obviously talked about, Sam Ellis with On, and then CJ Jones, the Under Armour 800 group, he will be pacing. Paced there last year also. I mean, this race is going to come through in 50, probably 50.5. Yeah. I think CJ is always spot on when he paces those 800s. I think the interesting thing for me will be if anyone goes with it. Last year, I think Isaiah Harris went with it. They were through in like 50.5, and that's why we saw a 144 race. But I think there's a lot of times where guys like Noah will say that they're going to go with the pace, and it ends up going out in 54, 55. So I think this race is going to be 144 or it's going to be 148. Like, I don't think we're going to see a race where it's like a 146 for the win. I think that it's either going to be super tactical or these guys are going to go out in 116 and see what happens. But I am going to go with Noah Cabet with my pick. Just on the chance that I think it's going to be a 50 flat race and these guys are going to hammer it and see if he can run 144 again. So that's my pick.
Man, dude, I like this Tuesday, I watched Noah standing start a 16.8 150.
Yeah.
Like, just, but, and it wasn't like a rigging 16.8. It was just like a really smooth, really good, like, form. God, such a pretty runner. And that's what pains me. Like, if Noah wins, I'll be happy that I lost that pick.
For sure.
You know, he won last year. He beat Isaiah last year. He's a world indoor silver medalist. He's a really small form, dude. He fits so well on the indoor track. He even said, he's like, I like the indoor track. He's like, I just get to bend in the curve. I really like his chances. For my second pick, I think I'm going to go with Mark English.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to take a chance on the Irishman. I got engaged in Ireland. Has nothing to do with his athletic abilities, but, you know, maybe it'll be the luck of the Irish here for a good pick. The reason I pick him is because I think there's a lot of middle ground 800 meter runners in this race that I think there's going to be a lot of tangle. And I think Mark English has actually more experience than most this field other than Bryce and Noah. I think Mark has experience to put himself in a good position and understand what are real and what are fake moves, where the rest of the crew might get caught up in themselves. That's a hot take. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Mark English for my second pick.
If there's a tangle, I think he's probably going to be involved in it, but he's such like a tactical guy and a big guy
Yeah.
that he just is able to, you know, fight through that. I mean, that dude's been in every kind of race you can imagine. So good
Yeah.
pick there. I mean, he won the 600 last week at New Balance, I think around 116.6. So I think that was his first race of the year, obviously in decent shape there. So solid pick for sure. My second pick, I'm going to go with a not so 800 focused guy. I'm going to go with Sam Ellis.
All right, okay.
Ran that good K at Washington, ran a decent mile. I think that on the off chance that this is a sit and kick race, that I think like he'll be there and have a chance to win it. I think that, you know, he's shown he's in good form. So yeah, Sam Ellis.
No, I think that's honestly a good pick too, because I was floating around with him. He's ran 218 for the K, he ran 217 for the K, and then he ran 356 for the mile. So he's got three races under his legs already. He keeps stepping down in distance, but I mean that guy's really good. I think he was actually a sure podium piece at the NCAA championships had there not been like a lane violation or some violation that was committed
for sure.
There last year for NCAA championships. So that's a good pick. This third, you know, Luis Peralta, I'm pretty sure went to Oregon. I'm pretty sure I've seen him run, but maybe not. That could be wrong. If you guys know the answer to that, you guys can go ahead and can spam me on that.
He was runner up at New Balance last week. I think he was like a couple hundreds behind Mark English. So
okay. I think I'm gonna get outside the U.S. again, and I'm gonna hit it with Saul Ordonez.
Ordonez, good guy.
Ordonez,
Saul is a great guy.
Okay, good. I'm going for nice guys. Nice guys finished first on the Sit and Kick podcast. The guys ran 145, 144, 144. Oh yeah, yep. Good pick. I like this. I like this a lot.
Always seems to be a gamer too in like world championship, especially like world indoor years. I mean, I think he's made the Spanish team at least the last one or two world indoor seasons. Always seems to put it together. I know he's been focusing a little bit more on like 1500 the last year or two, but always a guy that's gonna put himself in a race, I think.
Yeah, he's got good marks. Outdoor 800 meter PR, national records, the national record holder for Spain. Should know how to say his name. 143.65.
Yep.
Indoor short track, this is what we're calling it now, 145.88. That guy might be a sleeper pick.
Good pick.
And then for your third pick, where are you going?
I'm going to go with Luciano Fiore.
All right.
So now with Atlanta Track Club, formerly Empire, won Dr. Sander. I think he ran like 147 low, 147.3, 147.4,
yep.
Which was a personal best. So guy with a lot of experience at the Armory. Yeah, I like his chances to PR again and get himself in the U.S. indoors, chance to make the team.
Winning goes a long way.
100%
at the professional level.
Yeah.
Winning goes a long
you
way.
Don't win
the
a
momentum
lot.
Of winning. Yeah, you don't win a lot, but when you do, I feel like that's when wins can stack, and that's why like guys on hot streaks are so hard to beat.
For sure.
So yeah, not bad at all. We're gonna bounce up now, double the distance to the women's mile, and when we're getting to these mile, not that those shorter events aren't loaded, man. The women's and men's mile and the men's and women's 2 mile are absolutely loaded. For this women's mile, we have Marta Perez of Spain. We have Anna Camp Bennett of U.S. Yolanda Ngbar. No, how do you say that, Eric? You're good with this. Garambe?
Garambe, yes. Garambe, correct.
Yep. She was the winner of the Dr. Sanders meet, I believe, that got her entry.
Yep.
She was with Atlanta Track Club Elite. Do you know that flag just based off of the
That's the
little
Swedish,
decal?
The Swedish flag.
Swedish flag. Correct. See, that was a pop quiz and you passed it. We're going to go with Sadie Henderson. The U.S., we're going to go with Maya Ramsden, Australia, Danny Jones, U.S., Ellie St. Pierre, U.S.,
I
Lucia
think Maya
Stafford,
Ramsden
Canada.
Is New Zealand, if I am.
Oh, New Zealand?
I believe
you're correct.
Yeah.
See, again, with a trivia. Helen Schlaffenhofen, I can say that one. U.S., Jessica Hull, that's Australia. See, there is a difference between the Australian and the New Zealand flag. I apologize for the 2% of listeners that we have in Australia. Yes, different. Josette Andrews, U.S., Susan Ayor, Kenya, and then my, again, teammate Simone Plord in the Canadian kit, a.k.a. the Nike Union Athletic kit, rounding out that field. This is loaded. I think this might be the most loaded. I mean, Laura Muir's been there before, but this is a very, very loaded field. All right, go ahead and flip a coin. Sit is me, kick is you. First pick is going to go to Kick. Just going back and forth, I guess.
This is a tough one. I
Oh yeah. Because whoever you don't pick, I'm picking.
I know. I'm gonna go with Jess Hall.
All right.
I mean, she's been on an absolute tear this indoor season. I mean, ran 234, ran 824. So kind of finding that sweet spot right in the middle. Couple of wins already this year, and I think that, yeah. I mean, I could have gone one of a couple of ways with this one, but yeah, I'm
Yeah.
gonna go with Jess Hall.
I'm gonna have to stick it with Ellie St. Pierre. She's returning after, to form brilliantly. I mean, she was literally decimals off of running the American record for 3,000 meters. She ran 8:25.25, just a stride behind Jess. So this is gonna be a great return, great rivalry between the two of them, back-to-back weekends. Perrier has, U.S. indoor champ, world indoor silver medal. She's won Millrose before. She even has the meet record at 4:16.85. So I'm gonna pick the I'm gonna re pick a champion. I'm gonna pick the event record holder. I mean, I do think that those two are the favorites. So I think that to start out the teams with those two is a great place to be. But I'm gonna let you go ahead and grab the number two pick.
Someone else with some solid experience in the Wanamaker Mile, and I'm going to go with Josette Andrews.
Dang it. Okay, yeah.
I think a couple runner-ups, is that right? Runner-up
Yeah,
twice, I believe.
yep.
Yeah, I mean, ran that really a solid 5K at BU, so she's fit. And I know, like I've always said, I mean, if Dathan throws you on the line, you're going to be in shape to do something big. So I like Josette Andrews to have a good performance there.
For my second pick, I'm gonna go ahead and just, sorry, Simone, but I will be picking Lucia Stafford. I think that she's a really good pick. Canadian record holder. She's ran 2:31 for the 1K already this year, and she's ran 2:01.79 for 800 meters. That 2:01, I think, is the best mark that she's been able to put together. She did run 4:08 in the 15 in Boston, but again, a lot can happen in these mile races. I hope and think she'll be in a little bit better contention here at Millrose. She was third here last year at 4:22. She is returning to form. So yeah, I think Lucia Stafford, whether or not she wins, I think she's gonna be able to beat a lot of people. So I'm gonna pick her as my number two.
My number three, I'm gonna go with Helen. More of that Millrose experience, if I remember. I think she ran
Yeah.
like 4:23, 4:24 here last year for fourth or fifth place. I think she's only run once this year so far. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Helen for another big result at Millrose.
Man, this is tough. The third pick on this is tough. I'm thinking that I'm gonna have to roll unconventionally with this a little bit. This wasn't who I probably had in mind off the start. But I think I'm gonna go with Anna Camp Bennett as my third pick. She's already ran 4:27 for the mile this year. She's done a good amount of pacing. I know she PR'd in the 3K earlier in December. I think she's coming to really good form. She's ran, yeah. I think she's the best pick moving forward for me. So, Anna Camp Bennett, she's already ran 4:27. 4:27 is going to be a competitive time in this field. But if you have that many bodies right in front of you or behind you, I think she'll be able to pick off a few seconds. So she's on a hot streak. Gonna go with her. All right, and then down to the right. We've gone three and three.
Yeah, 3 and 3.
Down to the men's mile. If you want to go through this list, but as a reminder, they are going after the world record.
All right, men's mile, being paced by Derek Holdsworth, and
Go
then
Wolves.
the rest of the field is Hobbs Kessler, Sam Prekel, Andrew Koskarin, CPT, Charles Philibert. How you say the T? I always just call him CPT,
Thibodeau.
Tipito,
Yeah,
Jordan
Thibodeau.
Magoos, Mario Garcia Romo, George Mills, Adam Fogg, Casey Comber, Liam Murphy, Adam Spencer are two collegians from Villanova and Wisconsin, and then Cooper Tier, who was originally in the 2 mile and has since bumped down to the Wanamaker.
The world record right now is 3:47.01. We're gonna go ahead and go a flip of the coin. Sit is me, kick is you. You get the first pick.
My sources are telling me that they're aiming for the exact same pace as last year, which was
Okay.
153 flat through 800.
Damn.
So,
Okay.
yeah. See if Derek can match my 152.99.
Okay.
but yeah, so I mean, it's going to be loaded. It's going to be fast. I think, like, for me, I have to go with Yared, just based on what he did there last year, what he's done this year, in the 5K. I just think that based off of current fitness and accolades, I mean, running three, what do you run 3:43 at pre, I think that it's hard to argue against that until he shows me something different. So I'm gonna go with Yard.
I'm gonna go with I'm just gonna jump right in behind you because I think this guy will either win it or get second. I think this guy's also a great pick. I'm gonna go with George Mills, OAC Europe, a countryman of Josh. The guy's broke 13 in the 5K. He's ran 3:47 for the mile outdoor. He's a guy that's like, you see him, and for some reason he's always in the mix of races, and I don't think he gets enough headlines. So I'm gonna go with George Mills. Do I think that he could win? Yes. Do I think he will? I think Yared again, like you're saying, Yared's a clear favorite in this one. But George, I mean, man, George looking at that five. I think he's a good round out pick for two. Now, who do you got for your second pick?
Before I make this, I'm curious how you see this race playing out. Like,
I
do you
think
think that like Mario's gonna go for it again behind the pacer and kind of set Yard up through 1200 to break a world record? Like, do you think that they're gonna team it up like that again, or how do you see this playing out? Because that's what worries me, right? Is that if this pace lags, like if Derek goes nine, if Derek goes 1000, like if that lags at all from 9 to 12, I think that that could make it interesting.
I don't know. There's tons of team tactics at play. I mean, if you look at the OAC group, they're the only ones that actually have teammates in line with one another here. Everyone else is an independent. I mean, if Dathan, I mean, he is a tactics guy. He is a feed off one another guy. I can see Mario. I don't know if Mario would be a sacrificial lamb. I mean, Mario's got a lot to put on his own shoulders for this race. I mean, he
For
had
sure.
that 5K. He was showing fitness just 2 weeks ago. Not that he bombed, but I know like expectations are very high, especially at the professional level. So when you go out and you get in a race and you don't run where you want to run, you're gonna come into that next race like, then I have to show up. I think that Mario, if I were to guess how this race is gonna go, I think Mario is gonna put himself in a good position, but I don't think he's gonna be the same sacrificial lamb that he was last year for Yard. I think that Mario's gonna run his own race, and if it happens to be in front of Yard, so be it. But I think Yard is also head above the rest, where he needed Mario last year to press that pace. Yard, I don't think needs Mario to do that
For
anymore.
sure.
So that's kind of my thought
I would
process.
agree. I think one guy that is missing this field, Neil Gurley. I did see that he said he's a little banged up. So Neil, hopefully you get back there to Glasgow
Yeah,
for
definitely.
World Indoor. So he had an awesome race there last year. I'm gonna go with Hobbs. I think that New Balance last week was super impressive. Just to see like him close that last 300. I mean, running 3:33. I think that
That was so
he could have
impressive.
run 3:32, right? If there's not that like random 29 or 30 there in the middle that they ran, I think that like 3:32 was definitely in the cards. So it's cool to see him maturing and just like really controlling that race. Like it was like the most mature race that I've seen him run, and I'm excited to see like what he does against some more guys like this.
That's honestly spot on. It was so mature, and watching the way that he raced it was crazy. I mean, he put himself right behind the Pacers, and when he made his move, it just no looking back, and he was so smooth. I mean, in the interview afterwards, he said that they've been working on just running fast as smooth and effortlessly as possible, and he made the last lap at 54 look like a jog. And he broke Whiteman, who is returning to form from an injury, but that guy's won a world championship, and Hobbs literally put him to rest. And like, Whiteman was making ground up in the last 100, but Hobbs matched it after about 50 more to go. So Hobbs is a good pick, and that's a scary pick too, because he's an athlete that is very young. I mean, I remember watching and being in the first round with him there at the 2021 Olympic trials, and that was his first experience. He was trying to soak it all in. And I mean, he was still a teenager at the 2021 trials, and he got knocked out in the second round. And then he hasn't put himself, and this is going to lead me to my second pick. And Hobbs has been on the podcast, and he's a good guy, and big fan of Hobbs. But when it comes to the U.S. Championships, Hobbs hasn't made a team. Like, this is something that he's continuously building for. I want Hobbs to go on an absolute tear. If I'm running the 1500 meters at trials, I don't really want Hobbs to go on a tear. As a competitor, I want Hobbs to not go on a tear, but Here as a spectator, I want Hobbs to go on a tear, and I want him to continue to like prove himself to himself, not to the rest of the world, that like, yeah, he's an absolute gamer. He's ran 333, he's ran 332 even outdoor in the LA meet. Yep. However, I'm going to put my second pick above Hobbs. I think that Cooper Tier is going to beat Hobbs. So I'm going to put Cooper Tier ahead of Hobbs. Cooper paced a 1,409 meters of a mile last weekend in 325. And then he came back and ran 218 for the K in the same day. I think that because Cooper has returned with Ben Thomas, he's back on that training protocol. He has a year under Jerry's aerobic belt. And he just won cross-country championships. I mean, Cooper Tier is, you could say, on a tear. So I'm going to put Cooper ahead of Hobbs. I think George Mills and Cooper Tier side-by-side as my teammates in this event are going to outscore Yard and Hobbs. But yeah, it's this is a tough event. There's a lot of guys in this field that are very, very good.
Solid. My last pick, I'm going to go with Mario. I think that another guy that just shows up week in and week out is always going to put himself in the mix to, at some point, you know, give himself a chance to win the race or be top three. So I think that, you know, him and Yard are going to feed off of each other. And I think that they're both going to be there with a lap to go. So I'm going to go with Mario.
All right. I'm going to go with a good friend. And I think the smartest guy in the field, Sam Prekel. I'm going to go with Sam Prekel because he is the most consistent 336 guy in the planet. Like that guy, like, and this isn't even a knock. He's ran 336, 337 and finished fourth or fifth in every single race. And that I've seen him run. Rarely do you see him get like a W other than on roads. And you know, he did, almost win the world outdoor champ or world, road mile championships, getting beat by Hobbs. But the thing about Sam is he is so damn consistent that I think as long as he keeps putting himself in those positions, it's going to click eventually, for sure. And it's going to make like fourth and fifth is going to turn to first, second, or third. And he's ran 350 for the mile. It's not like he doesn't know a hot pace. And this is a hot pace. And he's consistent. So where you might have guys like Mario or George, I mean, like those guys are both guys that have experience at these faster races. I think Prekel's just been around. I mean, Prekel ran this twice as a collegian as well. So this is not his first go at the Miller Rose Mile either. So I'm going to go with Prekel. He's my age. He's my year. Him and I battled and duked it out a little bit in college. Still duke it out now, but I think that he's going to be a good third pick just as a safety net.
For sure. I think, like you said, the most consistent guy there probably. I think that, like, I don't know if I've ever seen Sam Prekel blow up in a race on the roads or on
never.
The track. So
never.
Can't argue with that.
All right, moving on to the women's 2 mile. Do you want to rip down these names?
Yeah. Women's 2 mile. We have Medina Asa and Melknat Wudu, both Ethiopians. Lori Barton, Atlanta Track Club. Chrissy Gear, Hoka NAZ Elite. Abby Nichols, also Hoka NAZ. Roisin Flanagan of Ireland. Nikki Hiltz. Nozomi Tanaka from Japan. Emily Mackey, New Balance Boston. Emily Infield, Alicia Munson. Alicia Konishek, Courtney Wayman, Laura
nice.
Mir. I am of Polish descent, so.
All right. I as well. All right. Name the two Division II athletes in that field.
Two Division II athletes in that field. I got nothing for you.
Oh, okay. It's Alicia Konachek and Roisin Flanagan. Roisin Flanagan went to Adams State, and then Alicia Konachek went to Western State.
Nice.
We chose Division II as it used to be. That was literally the tagline. It was, we chose Division II, and it turned to make it yours.
I almost
so a little
chose
bit more
Division III.
Really?
Yeah. Fun fact.
Eric, you get the first pick again on this.
Again? Okay.
Again. And I believe Lori Barton is pacing.
Got it.
Yep, she's an eight miler. This would be a very big jump for her.
Yeah, she's done an awesome job pacing recently.
Yep.
Man, this is tough. I'm gonna go with Laura Mir. I know where you're gonna go probably after this, but I think that the fact that she changed from the mile to the 2 mile, I think proves that she's ready for this. And like, the world record for this is way slower than some of these 3K paces that these athletes have run. So I think
Yeah.
that it's a way to like cement yourself as a world record holder, even if it's an event that's not run super often. So I think that her
Yeah.
stepping up to this proves that she's fit and she's ready to roll. Just an absolute gamer. So go for it, Mir.
Yeah, I'll go with Alicia Monson. She's won this race before as a collegian with Wisconsin. She's run in this event before. She's become lethal at distances, from 3K to 10K in the US. And she's not a shy one away from the pace. Like, if this is going to be a world record paced race, it's going to be her and Laura Muir, I think, pushing it from the front. I could see Alicia Monson putting herself to the front off the pacers, and Laura just sitting right behind her, and then it becomes a foot race. But Alicia's also one of those athletes that you rarely ever see blow up. You know, she usually is always in it and consistent, at least towards the front end of the race. So Alicia Monson is going to be my number one pick for this women's 2 mile.
My number two pick is I'm gonna go with Mehmet Uzun, the Ethiopian.
All right.
Ran 8:32 at New Balance. I mean, 8:32 is rolling for 3K, and I think that that's way under world record pace. So I think that she's gonna be up there with that lead pack and have a chance to win, I think, dependent. I mean, regardless if the race goes slow or fast, so.
Just doing a quick search real quick. I don't know if that's legal for our drafting. For my second pick, I'm gonna go. Oh man, this might be. Well, this is tough, dude. Because this is where it kind of not like falls, but it's like this is where I think that I'm gonna just then choose Medina Issa of Ethiopia. Yeah, 1/100th. I think that she's gonna be up there in the front again anyway. I think both Wudu and Issa are just good like second picks. Because depending on what you do for your third pick will depend on what I do for mine. So yeah, we can go with the Ethiopians for both of our two picks.
Yep, my third pick, I'm gonna go with Nikki Hiltz. They ran an awesome 1K American record at Washington. They haven't done anything over a mile that I know of recently. So I'm a little bit nervous about that. like getting there could be the issue if it's a fast pace, but I think that if they're there with 200 meters, 300 meters to go, that you can't rule them out of any race that they're in. So I'm gonna go with Nikki Hiltz.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was gonna be my third pick. They set the outdoor American record for the mile at Monaco. Gamer, absolute gamer.
100%.
And again, it's one of those athletes where momentum's everything, right? And they definitely have it after that American record 1K. For my third pick, I'm gonna go with Emily McKay. Might be unconventional, but I do think that she has a lot of consistency, and she just ran 4:05 for the 1500 meters there at the New Balance Grand Prix, finishing third in that race. Emily's just one of those people that I think sneaks under the radar too. She's the George Mills of the women's 2 mile for this go. So if Emily McKay can do some damage, that'd look really, really good for my fantasy picks.
Solid pick.
All right, going for the 2 mile. Men, right? That we have done. Yep. So we're on our final one. We're at 50 minutes. This is going to be a sneaky 60-minute episode. So it's
Nice.
going to be perfect for you guys listening. Now for the men's 2 mile, I'll rip through these names. We have Samuel Fairu, we have Josh Kerr, Hazem Maiwad, Cole Hawker, Grant Fisher, Joe Klecker, Jordi Beamish, Morgan McDonald, Kieta Sato, Kieran Lum, AJ Ernst. I put on our script, you guys, I put no notes needed for this one. Let's just banter about the 2 mile world record is 8:04. Sit is David, kick is Eric. Flipping the coin, please don't be me, but it's me. Okay, this is gonna see the loyalty of the podcast makes me have to pick Josh first. Here's my honest approach to this. Do I think Josh Kerr is gonna set the record? Yes. Do I think someone else in this race could set the record? Also, yes. Am I worried about Grant Fisher in this race? Very much so, yes. So I'm choosing Josh Kerr because he's my buddy boy. He was in my wedding. You know, he had a great speech, and I do genuinely believe in him. But I also am a little bit partial to Grant Fisher because I think Grant Fisher could really do some damage here too. Here's how I think this is going to play out, though. I think that Josh is going to be able to press, and I think he's going to be that guy that's going after the record. Target's a bit on his back in this race. I mean, yeah, Josh might have won the 3K there at Millrose last year, you know, in 732, 733, but Grant Fisher's ran under 730 twice, and Grant Fisher's the American record holder for the outdoor 3K. Grant Fisher's gotten fourth and fifth in global championships for distance events. Josh, yes, has won the 1500 meter world championship, but because Josh has won the world championship for 1500 meters, suddenly he's that guy in this 2 mile race. This is double Josh's normal distance. Again, he won that 732 last year, but realistically, this is Grant's domain. And I think Grant's the big dog in this race. So here's how I think this might play out. It's going to be very similar to the world record attempt with Mo Farah and Eliud Kipchoge. They're in Glasgow, I believe it was, but it's definitely in the UK. Mo Farah, hometown, you know, he was the guy that was in line with the Pacers. He's right behind it. He's battling out for the win. And what happens is the pace slows. I think they end up running like 808, 806. Mo Farah gets a little dropped off the Pacers. Kipchoge takes the lead and just beats Mo. So my worry is Josh goes after this world record and then loses the race to somebody like Grant Fisher because of this just strength element that these guys like Grant have in this event. But long-winded answer, first pick, going with my boy, Josh Kerr, so he doesn't beat me up.
That would have also been my first pick.
All right.
I am going to go with Grant, but I'm not like I am not as confident in that as I think you are. I think he's run what, like 7:34 for 3K. So I mean, he's run fast, but he's never run like super fast indoors. I think that's what worries me a little bit, is like coming in like this being his first, maybe only indoor race of the year. And I mean, I don't know what kind of work he's doing on indoor track, but it's a different playing field than outdoors for sure. So I am going to go with Grant, and I think he will probably also run under that world record, but I'm not as confident in that as I think you are.
Okay. All right. And that's why I like we're bantering about. For the second pick, honestly, I'm going to go Cole Hawker. I'm going to go Cole Hawker for my second pick. He's won USA's. He's a consistent pick there. I mean, he's finished at global championships and finals. He knows how to race. He knows how to measure himself. Cole did have a little bit of a tough go there at the cross country championships, but he's working out side by side there with Cooper. And if I have faith in Cooper, I also have to have faith in Cole. So he's a gamer. He's able to step up when it matters. I'm going to put Cole there. I mean, you watch anything. This fast pace though is going to probably be the most worrisome thing for Cole, only because his ability to kick down races is insane. That kick might be taken out of him a little bit, but oh man, should I go Cole? Yeah, I said it. I'm going to go Cole. Cole is my number two. I'm just gonna take that.
All right. The other guy I almost took with my number one pick, and that is George Beamish.
Damn.
I mean, seeing the 5K that he ran, a guy that also is always there indoors, every race he runs. I mean, he has had some insane kicks at the Armory for some wins. Yep. So I think that, like, regardless of pace, like we said, like, he's going to be there the last 200-300 meters, and he'll give himself a chance to win. So I'm going with Beamish.
And see, this is the third pick is a tough one. But I think the obvious pick out of this group is Joe Klecker. He has the strength. He's there. I mean, he can just grind it out. He's going to be able to clip out those 60-61s there for the first mile. So the biggest thing will be damage mitigation. Is if he's in contention with guys like Grant and Josh, I mean, Joe outkicked Grant for the 10,000 title, at USA Outdoors. So Joe knows how to click, or Joe knows how to kick, but does he know how to kick down these guys in a 2 mile? I'm not entirely sure, but I do think he's going to be one of those guys where he's not going to blow up. Like, his quote unquote blow up is the fact that he ran 13:07 for the 5K there in, Boston 3 weeks ago. So he's obviously fit. He's obviously ready. So yeah, I'm going to go Joe for my number three.
My number three, I'm very intrigued by Sato, but I'm a little bit nervous about him on the indoor track. I think he shattered the U20 Japan world record or record in the 10K, right? He ran like 27 something. He was rolling. So I'm intrigued to see what he does, but I'm going to go with Kieran Lum for my third pick.
Okay.
think there's
All
another
right.
guy that sticks his nose in all sorts of races. Ran 3:37, I believe, at New Balance. He's run a 5K this year. He's run another 3K. So I think that a guy that's got a lot of racing under his belt, he's been in some fast races. I think that like that could pay off when this pace is hot. You know, you get to that, 2K, 2400, and you're just grinding. I think that he's going to be there and feel pretty comfortable. So I'm going to go with Kieran.
Not bad. Not bad. I like it. Yeah, I mean, and that wraps up the show. I mean, like, guys, this is going to be a great race, great weekend of Millrose. This episode will come out to you before Millrose, but just real quick, I'm going to go back through these fields and I'm going to just list off all the guests that we've had on the Sit and Kick podcast. So if you guys are watching this race at home, all these races, you guys can have some special love and an appreciation for those athletes that we've had on the podcast. And hey, if you like what you see and you want to go back, then I'm going to go ahead and say, listen to those episodes. There might be bad audio quality. It's before we had this upgraded studio. But we had, I'm going to go through them. Morgan McDonald, Cole Hawker, obviously Josh Kerr, the big man himself. We've had Nikki Hiltz. Going to keep rolling through. We have had Cooper Tier. We've had Hobbs Kessler. We've had Simone. We just had her episode the other day. We've had Danny Jones. We've had Bryce Hopple. And that rounds out the group. So, guys, if you are listening to these episodes, you're enjoying the preview, and you want to hear a little bit more about some of the guests that we've had on, go listen to those episodes. Cheer on the Sit and Kick athletes. Cheer on all the athletes. But most importantly, go Team David. And yeah, lastly, if you made it this far in the episode and you want a David Ribbitch update, running 60 miles this week, back to training almost normal, get a workout in next week. And my goal for outdoor is to be undertrained and overperform instead of overtrained and underperform. So, sitting pretty. It's never nice to be injured, but it's nice to have a good team around you. And I do feel like I have that. So thank you guys for listening to another episode. Eric, is there anything you want to add here?
No, best of luck to everyone competing this weekend. A lot of big collegiate races getting ready for NCAAs. A lot of pros trying to get those world qualifying times. So, best of luck to everyone. We're excited to follow.
All right, and roll the outro. And then we will stop it there.